They're talking about how us Christians celebrate Christmas. It's pretty funny. And the guy goes, well, okay, you celebrate the birth of Jesus. How do you celebrate that? And say, well, we go and cut a tree down. And we bring the tree into the house. A perfectly good tree, we come and bring it in the house. It's like, so that's how you celebrate the birth of Jesus. You cut a tree down and bring it into the house. Yes. Yes. Well, why do we do that? Because your parents did. And your grandparents did. What are we doing here? Some people accuse us of this is an old pagan ritual. Well, let me tell you something. I'm not a pagan, and I don't celebrate pagan rituals, all right? That's not what this is about. I want to talk to us for a few minutes about the Christmas tree. And I believe it's a bit prophetic in this Christmas tree that I did not get this from the internet. I didn't get it from somebody, and it's probably not good enough to get it from somewhere else. It's just me. As I was praying about some things, and I thought about the Christmas tree, and I think a lot of things can be explained by the Christmas tree. This, a Christmas tree, think of it, at least in our family, I don't know about yours, but I think so, has brought families together for generations. We have gathered around it, and we've decorated it together, and done a lot of things, open presents around it, and so forth, and some of you keep it up too long. You start too early, and you keep it up too long. January 15th. It's too late to keep your tree up. If you do it before Thanksgiving, you're an addict. All right? Anywhere in between there, you're all right. Well, now, an artificial tree like this was not going to work as good for my analogy. A real one would, but I'm not going to go and cut one down or go to Lowe's either. So here you have a tree out in the world. It's a perfectly good tree. And I want to show you that a tree can represent the world. The world that that original tree was in was a perfect world. It was a wonderful thing, and it grew tall and it grew strong. And yet in one day, listen, in one day, by a mistake, a fault, an error, someone listening to the wrong person, that tree gets cut off. In the Garden of Eden, the tree, the perfect tree, our world, our earth that was perfect, is severed from the life-giving soil because of sin. A cut came, and the sap began to flow out of the tree from that cut. And the cut is between man and God. God and man would never again have the fellowship that God and Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. It was cut. Had it been caught and fallen over, it would have been gone in a short order. But God in His mercy, God in His mercy and wisdom, did not throw the world away. He did not take the cut tree and just throw it away. He began to make steps to make it better. And you'll see today that He always left somebody to take care of it. The light went away when sin entered in. This world sat in darkness. You see, darkness and sin go hand in hand. I'll say it again. Darkness and sin go hand in hand. They're buddies. But the Lord got a tree stand. And He put water in that tree stand. And He set that cut tree. Now a cut tree, as you well know, cannot live forever. It's been cut. We'll get to that. But he put this cut tree in the water. I'm vacillating a little bit whether that water was the flood water to cleanse the filthiness of the earth for a little bit, or it's the water of the Holy Spirit that he put it into to work with man and to preserve us. But a cut tree has a terminating point. You hear me? A cut tree. A lot of our cut trees ended up on the living room floor before we could get it out at the door. But God said, I'm not going to leave man alone. I will produce through Adam and Eve's third son, Seth. I will produce something that will eventually produce sight or light. And that is in the seed of the Redeemer. He said, I'm going to put in failed man, I am going to put the seed of the Redeemer. And it's going to come through Seth. And then as the world was so terribly wicked, it says in my Bible that in Noah's time, they never thought of anything good. They thought in their imagination only evil and violent things. That's all they could think of. Like some of our major cities. But God had Noah and his family. Now, a Christmas tree, this isn't as quite acute as others. A Christmas tree starts wide at the bottom and narrows at the top, all right? And so here we have early mankind. It's wide. There's lots of possibilities. And what I'm going to show you is the seed of the Redeemer. It gets narrow, more and more narrow. As we eliminate false things, promises, and stick with the true. And so he's got Noah. And Noah survives the flood. So the world continues on even after the flood. God was merciful, and the tree is still standing. I don't know what would have happened if he couldn't have found Noah. I don't know. But he did, thank God. Then a few generations later, he finds another man to talk to, and he changed his name to Abraham. And Abraham's just a little bit higher here, and he gives Abraham a promise that is a ridiculous promise. He said, out of your loins, I will create a nation so big that you won't be able to count it. It will be as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. And that came through an old woman, Sarah. God's word is true. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. And so we go on. The light of redemption is trying. Understand, the reason I didn't have him turn the lights on, there's no light in the world. Even though Abraham was a wonderful man, a man of faith, there was still no light. We still sat in darkness, in great darkness. And Abraham produces Isaac, a miraculous child by the name of Isaac. And Isaac is faithful to the Lord, and he produces a guy by the name of Jacob, who changed his name to Israel. And onward up we go. It's narrowing. Now God is eliminating everybody else except Jacob and his sons. But the seed of redemption of the light of God goes into only one of Jacob's sons. His name is Judah. And it keeps going. Now through Judah, it's where you get the term Jew. It's from Judah. You talk about Jewish people. They're only the tribe of Judah. The rest are Israelites. And so onward goes up this thing. We're still in darkness. We're still in darkness. And when the Israelites were enslaved by the Egyptians, God didn't leave them hanging. Took a while, but he brought forth Moses. And Moses led them out of Egypt. Still, there was no light. They had the law. Moses got the law, but not the light. He had good things. God gave him good things up there on the mountain. But it wasn't the light. Still, the Redeemer had to come. And thank God for men like Joshua and Caleb that would not be afraid to enter into the promised land. And they went into the promised land and up it goes, and they conquered the promised land. No light. Good stuff, but no light. And after Joshua and Caleb, we go for a while of the backslidden Israelites and so forth, and they come and go. They come and go. And then God found a young man that you went to see at the movies. His name David. He found him out in the pastures of his dad. And he says, I'm going to bring the light through this. I'm going to see the redemption and the light through this man. I'm going to create a kingdom with his name on it that will never see an end. On up history. We're going up history here, all right? And we have King David. And after King David, we have Solomon and Nathan, who the seed of redemption came through Nathan, not Solomon. Read it in your Bible. But as it comes up, and finally, somewhere up here, when we get to the ages of the terrible kings and the prophets, we have the kings and the prophets on opposite sides. The prophets are for righteousness. The kings are for popularity. Beware of people who seek popularity. The prophets wanted the truth to reign in Israel. And finally, Malachi puts his last period at the end of his prophecy. And then nothing. Nothing. Generations come. Generations go, and nothing. As long as the Israelites stayed in Egypt, that's as long between Malachi and Matthew. It's a long time. People came and went with only promises. They said, well, and now the world sits in darkness, darker than it has ever been. It's getting, though time is going on, the darkness has. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you could feel the darkness. It's got to be really dark, but you can feel it. You could feel the darkness on this earth. After Malachi prophesies, and it's over. And the land, especially Israel, sits in darkness. And then, almost out of nowhere, this angel appears to Zechariah. Nothing. We have heard nothing from God. He's been on vacation for 400 years. And now this priest goes in to offer the oblation unto the Lord. And there stands an angel, Gabriel, and he says, listen, got something for you. And of course we know the story. That same angel Gabriel goes and visits an insignificant, unknown young lady by the name of Mary. She's living in an insignificant city by the name of Nazareth that some people say nothing good can come out of. It's up in northern Galilee. And something happens that's been needed since the Garden of Eden. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, it says that the angel, Luke 1:30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, this is verse 31 is one of the most critical verses in your Bible. Because if you can't believe Luke 1:31, you're not going to believe anything else. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And he's saying he's going to do that without the help of a man. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Listen, all of this generation of Israelites, all they could tell is ancient stories. All they could tell is the stories of Moses. All they could tell is the stories of Abraham. All they could tell is stories of Joshua. They could only tell stories of ancient history. They had no current events as far as God was concerned. But now, this angel is announcing a current event. Verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever,
and of His kingdom, there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, Listen, the Holy Ghost, who is the creative being, the Holy Ghost, shall come upon thee, and the power the dunamis of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Hallelujah. At that moment, when the power of God came upon Mary, a virgin Mary, when the power of God came upon her, there was a flash of light. There was a flash of light in her womb. A light that had been lacking for centuries. That flash of light that flashed inside of Mary's womb. Everything going to change. But even that light is hidden inside of Mary for 9 long months. But let me tell you what was going to happen on that one particular night. John chapter 1 and verse 14. I mentioned this, I think it was last Sunday night. But if you're wondering if we're going to celebrate, are we going to celebrate Christmas in heaven? Listen, the angels are all dressed like Jamie Cooley today. Maybe not as fancy, but almost. Yes, we will celebrate. Of course. We wouldn't be there unless there was a day when Jesus was born. Of course, we will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ into eternity. Trust me on this. There's no reason not to. And the Word, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh. Oh, that night, the Word became the same Word that said, let there be light in Genesis chapter 1 is the same Word that came that very night. The Word that created everything that you see and what you don't see. He left His throne in glory and took on Him the flesh of man. Luke 2:6 says, and so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. What happened is history got to the top of the tree and found the light. The light that we had been missing for so very long, the light of God, the light in a dark universe. The light has come. We have sat in darkness, we lived generations in darkness, but now the light. The light has come. The heaven rejoices. He made a new star that star might shine its light on this cold world. Let me tell you, the moment, listen to me, the moment somewhere around Bethlehem that little baby broke the matrix and quit breathing amniotic fluid and started to breathe air, the moment that happened, it was like lightning splitting the sky. Everything changed. I said everything changed. Every spirit knew what took place. Every principality, every power of darkness, every wicked spirit, every good angel knew something had just happened. I'll tell you how momentous it was. Let me see. We have anybody here? Was anybody here born in Arizona? We got a few poor people been had a tan your whole life. Jan, you were born in Arizona. I got a hard question for you. What's today's date? Full date. Yeah, got it wrong. What's the full date today? There's a product of Arizona. Okay, you don't have to. What's today's date? I'm not asking you. I'm asking a smart math guy. Say it nice and loud. Full date. 2025. All right. Anybody here from Iowa? Santa? Jamie? What's the date? If you're born in Iowa, what's the date today? Full date. That'd be the 21st. They're always ahead. I was always ahead. They're the first one to have the primaries. So, yeah, they're always a little bit ahead. I didn't think it was going to be that tough a question. Huh? Can I get somebody from New York? Who was born in New York here? Anybody born in New York here? What's the date in New York today? Thank you. Is anybody born here in Italy? What's the date? Thank you. Anybody here from Colombia? What's the date in Colombia? Thank you. Anybody from Ohio here? I have a point to this. What, how about you Ohio people? What date is it? December 21st, 2025. If you find a Jewish person and ask them what today is, they'll say December 21st, 2025. If you find a Hindu in India and ask them what today's date is, they'll tell you it's December 21st, 2025. If you find a Buddhist in the Far East and you ask them what today is, they'll tell you it's December 21st, 2025. Friends, time split when Jesus was born. It went from B.C. to A.D. Our whole society is on that moment in time when the Word became flesh. And we still have it today. The reason it's 2025, it's because Jesus was born. We go back to that night in Bethlehem and we record time from that moment. Every time before that is B.C. and everything after it is in the year of our Lord. That's how momentous that night is. 2025 years ago. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You can witness with the date. You can witness with it. We can put the shining star on the top of the tree, for the light of the world has come. And oh my, did it shine. Now where there was darkness, there's light. And ever since, thank God, at least there's a war between darkness and light. Jesus lived a sinless life. He died a vicarious death on the cross of Calvary. He defeated death and arose. I said he arose the third day. He ascended into heaven to be at the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. He sent the Holy Ghost so we would have a comforter while he was at the right hand of the Father. We'd still have the Lord with us. Hallelujah. Now, in the old days, I guess a few too many houses burnt down. But in the old days, they didn't use lights. They used candles. Did anybody here old enough where you use candles? Did your house burn? No. Did you have to put them out every... Did you just leave them on for like an hour at night? And now we got electric light bulbs. You know what these lights are? These lights are believers. The great light has shined into the little light. And now, not only is Jesus the light of the world, but Jesus says, you are the light of the world. We, every light here, it represents another soul that has believed in Jesus. Put lots of lights on your tree. Come on now. I say, come on.
And now the world has light because of you. I said the world has light because we live in the world. We're a light. Wherever I go, it might be dark before I get there, but it's not going to be dark when I get there. My workplace might be the darkest place, but when I show up, there's going to be some light in the house. There'll be some light in the factory. I show up. Hallelujah. Because the light of the world is inside of me. And then we have these things, what we call ornaments. I had no idea who thought it was a good idea to make them fragile. A lot of kids get in trouble. A lot of dogs enjoy breaking the bulbs. I don't know what the deal is. Let me tell you what the ornaments on the tree are. The ornaments on the tree is our testimony. This is my testimony. I used to be ugly, but now something beautiful has happened to me. Hallelujah. I used to be a liar. I used to be a stealer. I used to be addicted to drugs. I used to be addicted to alcohol. I used to be addicted to this or that. I used to be a nasty person. I used to be. But now I'm a decoration on the Christmas tree. I was diagnosed with 3 eye diseases, CC. Now I'm just a decoration on the tree. I got a testimony that God still opens blind eyes. Some of you were forsaken as children, and you don't even know who your parents are. But here you are. You found your way to Jesus, and you're praising Him today. And you have a great family of God with you. He's never failed you yet. Look at this one here. They sent you home, Chris Baumgartner. Either go to hospice or go to dialysis. Those are your only 2 choices. But I've got a testimony ornament that says Jesus is more powerful and has more authority than the best doctors in the world. And He says, I will preserve Chris Baumgartner. You want me to keep going because I can't go all day. Devil trying to steal children from you. Devil trying to steal children from Tiffany West, trying to steal them. And God says, nope, I'm going to give you twins. Hey! Fulfilling Grandpa's heart. He wants all girls for grandchildren. He wants all girls. We could go around this room today, and I thought about it, but it's too complicated. I don't care that much. But we could go around, and I could put an ornament in every one of your hands, and you'd have something to say, and you put the ornament on, because everybody in this room has a testimony. We're lost, but we're found. We're sick, but we're healed. We're bound, but we're set free. And we know how to decorate a tree. In this world, the tree's still the world, but we've got a testimony. We're not just lights, we got a testimony. Now, anybody here live long enough that you put tinsel on a tree, what we used to call icicles? Now we've been delivered from them mostly. You give a little kid some tinsel with static electricity happening, they're gonna break 3 ornaments just trying to get 1 icicle on that tree. You drape that over the branch, that tinsel. Friends,
That's the goodness of God. It's been shed abroad in our hearts. That is the wonders of the Lord, the blessings of our God that are poured into our lives. Yeah, I went over to somebody's house once. And I guess they had other ornaments on it, but they must have got a good deal on boxes of tinsel. So the whole thing was tinsel. A little wind would blow, the tree would get a lot bigger. Well, that ought to be us. We got the blessings of God hanging all over us. We live in the light. We got a testimony. And the goodness of God, the mercies of God, He is our provision. The tinsel represents the provision of God. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah my God. He supplies all my needs. He keeps me where I ought to be. When I need to move, He'll move me. Hallelujah. He'll do whatever He needs to do to get His blessing to me. You understand? When you're a light, you walk into the blessings of God, the reign of God, the wonders of God. When you're a light, you're sitting there like a bad light bulb in one of the trees. It's not quite as bad now. But you had to find that one bad bulb. I don't want to be a bad bulb. Because a bad bulb can affect other people. I don't want to be on lighted one day and then dark the next. Because I'm going to affect all the people after me. When something's wired in series and not parallel. When something is wired in series, it stops. The electricity stops. Wherever that series stops, it stops. And it doesn't continue on. When I walk away from God, it's a serious deal. Because it's going to affect those that come after me. Whew, I'm going to stay lit. I'm almost done. Don't worry. It's not the end of the story. We got gifts that we put under the tree. Some people put them in the tree, but most of us put them under the tree. Beautiful gifts wrapped so nicely. I thank the Lord for the new trend of bags. Makes life a lot simpler. Deb's not a great wrapper of presents, but she's 10 times better than me. Nobody wants to open up a wad of wrapping paper with a string tied around it. That's not appealing. But these gifts are the gifts of God. Love and joy and peace and righteousness and fellowship with Him and fellowship with one another. All the good things it says in my Bible, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. That means He doesn't change. When I let the light of Jesus into my life, I come into a place where He can give me the gifts of heaven to me here on earth. Are you still with me? I'm almost done, really. It's Christmas time. I let you go early. No church tonight. You got it made. Folks, one day, and one day soon, you're going to hear a loud noise. And the lights will disappear. Because they're going to go. The people that believe in Jesus, the trumpet will sound. There will be a great shout of the archangel. And this is the world, remember. And the world will be left in darkness again. Because the light is left. And woe to the people that are left to a dark world. Gonna be gone. Gonna be gone. In a twinkling of an eye, I'm gonna be gone. Won't have time to say goodbye, I'm gonna be gone. I don't remember the rest of the words. Gonna be gone. All the lights on the tree will disappear.
The light of the world has come to bring them home with Him. And the glory of God will depart with them. And now the tree will be dark again. And now the needles that used to be green, time has dried them out. And now they are brown and dry and brittle. And they begin to fall. Until one day, listen to me, one day, as dramatic events take place in a dark world, God is going to take a dried up earth, a dried up world, He's going to take it outside, and He's going to burn it. Read your Bible. Everything will burn. All the houses you worked your whole life to pay off. Every car you babied and waxed every week. Everything you held precious is going to be gone. It's going to be burnt. Nothing left. Until the light of the world creates a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. As beautiful, if you could think of the most beautiful scene you've ever seen on this earth, you ain't seen nothing yet. What the Lord has prepared for His lights that He has lit. But the non-believing and the rebels who refuse Jesus, the light of the world, shall find their place in the darkness of the lake of fire. The thing is, today, December 21st, 2025, we get to choose. I get to choose whether I'll be a light or not. Doesn't that Christmas tree without lights, it's just not good. I got to turn them back on. We get to choose today. Which will it be? Do we learn to live with our sin, or can we be rid of it? Can we be rid of it by our faith in Jesus and His blood that was shed for us? Can we put our sin under His blood? Can we be free from it and light up like we're supposed to light up? This world is winding down. I don't need to tell you that. Time is limited. And as we sit here today in 2025, this world is drying up. Don't worry about your carbon footprint. Worry about what God is about to do. And He's going to change everything. And those that know Jesus, it'll be a glorious day. But for the many who have refused Him, it'll be a dark day because they have to be in darkness. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, today we enjoy the celebration we call Christmas. We enjoy getting together as families. We enjoy the tree and the gifts. But Lord, today I ask that You would remind us why we do any of that stuff. Because it's an opportunity to believe in Jesus. That Jesus is the real light of the world and that He makes no mistakes. I pray for every person in this room today that not one would leave here without being lit. That there would be no dark bulbs leaving this room, this church facility. That everyone, and if it's you, if you don't know, are you dark or are you light? It's a simple process. I didn't say it was easy, but it's a simple process. You come before the Master and say, "Oh Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I repent of them. I don't want to live that way anymore. Forgive me. Wash me clean. And let Your light shine in me. Change in me whatever You need to change. So that I might be a child of the Most High God.
And it'll be a day of rejoicing for me when the trumpet sounds. It will not be a depressing day. It will be a day of rejoicing for me. Make that move right now in your heart, in your mind. Make that move right. Don't wait another day. I can't guarantee you tomorrow. Nobody can. Make that move into the light where you belong. If you were once in the light and your light has gone out, come back. Just as simple as before. You just come. You just come. Bring yourself and lay yourself at the Master's feet. And I promise you, He will receive you to bring glory and honor to Him. Hallelujah. Thank you.